This morning, as we begin our time together in God's Word, I'd like to invite you to turn your attention to the screens up front for today's introductory sermon video. Let's take a look.
We're on the road showing real people the stain-fighting power of OxyClean.
I have a big stain.
Let's see what happens with OxyClean.
It's coming out.
Wow, that's crazy.
Grape juice on a teddy bear. The grape juice is coming right out.
I'm very surprised it came out so fast.
Dirty lace is very hard to clean.
That's night and day, from dingy to white in seconds.
OxyClean gets the tough stains out. And now, try upgraded OxyClean laundry detergent high def for people who are serious about cleaning.
OxyClean gets the tough stains out, keeps your whites white, keeps the colors in your fabrics bright and vibrant. Powered by the air you breathe, activated by the water you drink. Tough on stains, tough on fabrics, but gentle with your delicates. All right, OxyClean, I got a question for you then. What about the stain of sin in my life? You see, this thing called sin, it stains my conversations. It stains my thoughts, stains my actions, stains my day-to-day life activity, stains my relationships. And without some kind of stain-fighting solution, the stains in my life stay where they are. So, OxyClean, what about the stain of sin in my life? If we look back at 1 John, the first chapter, we see that this is one of the issues that John, one of the first hand-chosen disciples of Jesus Christ, addresses in his writings. And if you'd like to take a moment, some time, to look through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, I'd like to challenge you to see the number of ways in which John highlights for you and for me all that God does for you as a gift through Jesus Christ. The ways in which he highlights Jesus as your light when you are in the dark, and your life when you are close to death, and your hope when you otherwise have none. Let me share this with you. 1 John 1, verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, which we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. In other words, we know Jesus, and we want you to know what we know. And these are some of the things that John highlights for us. He picks it up in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. We see this contrast painted for us in 1 John throughout the book, but especially in these first several verses. And I don't know if you caught this, but let me highlight a few things for you this morning. For example, the contrast between light and darkness. God lives in the light. God's the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Jesus, who said, "I am the light of the world." Fellowship with Jesus, to be in the light, also contrasted for us. Good versus evil. True versus false. And I think we know at certain points in life, sometimes we know maybe which area we've been residing in. There may be some days, and maybe if your week is like my week, there's some weeks where it's like, okay, I feel like I'm living in the light here, but there's something that kind of pulls me over here, and now I feel like I'm in the dark. And not just because I don't know who won the big football game last night, but because I feel like I'm in the dark about some really important things in life. Like maybe hope. Like maybe forgiveness. Like maybe peace. So let's test this out. True or false? Let's poll the audience this morning, okay? True or false? You tell me. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'd agree with you. Luke chapter 3 shares this with us. And the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. All right, let's try this again. True or false? Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead 3 days later. True. Yeah. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 4 and following. He says this, that Jesus was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, or Peter, and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then also to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. So these are some of the things we know. These are easy ones, right? We've heard this before. It's a Sunday school response answer, isn't it? How about this one? True or false? Our salvation, this is a big one. Our salvation is not dependent upon what we do, but is rather a gift of God's grace received through faith in his Son, Jesus. True or false? True. And if you need to talk about that a little bit more today after worship, see me. Or call me this week. Let's talk about it. True. Paul says this in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9. He says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. All right, let's fine-tune this a little bit now. Let's make this a little more personal. Let's delve into the realm of forgiveness, okay? True or false? Receiving forgiveness from God is dependent upon what we do for God and for others. True or false? False. Look what Jesus Christ does for you, Hebrews chapter 10. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by one sacrifice he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. All right, let's fine-tune that just a little bit more. True or false? God's forgiveness extends to each of us and covers all of our sins. True or false? It's really quick and it's easy to give a verbal response to that question, but I'd make the case that sometimes, because of certain situations and seasons of life and what may have come your way even this week, sometimes we wrestle with whether or not that's a really true statement for our lives or not. And while we maybe say that intellectually, maybe there's a part of our hearts this morning that really, really wrestle with that. Let me give you an example of that. What about the stain of sin in my life? A pastor friend of mine, Mark, pastor in the greater Seattle area, shares a story with me. He says, over the course of their ministry to some of the inner city parts of Seattle, Washington, they had a number of folks who were coming to their location, their campus, to get some help with some addictions, narcotics, alcohol, and so on. And over the course of some of these ministry events and conversations and activities, Pastor Mark had the opportunity to get to know several of the folks who were coming on site. And over the course of several months that followed, they had the chance to actually serve together with some of the community engagement events, similar to what we've done here at Praise, the focus outside the building, off campus. Over the course of some of these events and conversations, Pastor Mark had the chance and the opportunity to get to know someone really well, he and his wife both. One day this woman comes to his office and says, Pastor Mark, I can't do enough. And Pastor Mark said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, I come here for worship as much as I can. I give up my time, my talents, my treasures. I serve with you guys out in the community when I have a chance, but I just can't seem to do enough. And so Pastor Mark said, well, tell me more. What do you mean, do enough? She said, well, Pastor, I have a lot of sin in my life. I have a lot of baggage. And if you really knew my story, you'd know that I've hurt a lot of people along the way because of my addictions, because of my struggles, because of my challenges. I pushed people away who wanted to help. I got in the face of those who were really trying to help me, and now some relationships are fractured beyond what I think are repair. And I come here on Sunday mornings, and I join you guys, and I help serve out in the community with what you do, and I try to give my money to the Lord, and I do. But I'm tired, and I just can't seem to do enough. Hitting the pause button for a brief moment, it was easy to see that this was going on in this woman's life. And maybe there's a part of us that resonates with this morning. You see, in her life, somewhere along the way, something had pulled her from the truth of God's word over into the false. Taken her from the life that God had given her through grace and pulled her into the dark. Taken her from the truth to the area of false. And somehow, in some way, she was led to believe that life is like this balancing scale. Where if you have enough baggage, enough sin, enough mess, enough stain in your life, then your scale goes like this. And when your scale goes like this, you better do something to make sure it comes back up again. So you better balance out the other side with stuff that you can do. Good things, good works, good activities, money, and so on. Somewhere, somehow along the way, she had been led to believe that life is like this, that a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is like this, where you have to put on your own scale. God's work for you is not enough. You have to put on the scale. Somehow, some way, something, someone had pulled her from the realm of the truth into the realm of the false, from the realm of the good to the realm of the not so good, from the realm of the light to the realm of the dark. So Pastor Mark hits the pause button another time, and he said, well, I have to admit, I'm a little lost. I don't really know what's going on. I don't understand. And then this is what she said next. She said, Pastor, I have breast cancer, and I am certain that God is punishing me for all that I've done. You see, somewhere along the way, someone had pulled this woman and her faith from this area of truth to this area of false. And it led her to believe that somehow, in some way, she was responsible for everything that was going on in her life, and that she had to be the one to correct it. And that God was a vengeful God and was coming back around to punish her for her past. As I thought about that this week in preparation for our time together, I couldn't help but wonder the ways in which maybe you and I have been brought to similar places in life too. Or maybe it wasn't breast cancer for you that really tipped the scales, but maybe it was the loss of a relationship. Or maybe it was something that happened, something that was said, something that took place at work or at school, your neighborhood, or maybe your own home. And the result was the same. You were brought to this place where you were led to believe that life for you is like a scale where if you've done bad, you better do something good to offset the bad. Otherwise, well, you might be punished. Sometimes in life this happens for us, doesn't it? For Christ followers. Sometimes things pull us from the realm of the true to the realm of the false, from the realm of light where God is, where we learn more about his grace, his mercy, his love, unconditional, and we're pulled into the realm of the false. Had the chance not long ago to sit in on a Christian counseling group and session, and I'll never forget the way in which the leader of this group framed the conversation that had a lot to do with what we've been talking about this morning. She said this, and by the way, it's not Kara, it's not my wife, no, she's a counselor. But the leader of the group said, what is the lie that we've been told? In other words, God in his grace has given you of his Holy Spirit and his words that you'd live right here, that you'd operate right here in the light, where you'd know the truth of the word for you and the love of God for you. What was the lie that took you from here and somehow ripped you and brought you and kidnapped you and brought you over here? And as you fine-tuned the question a little bit more, and she said, what's the lie you've been telling yourself? In other words, what was it that told you that you were responsible for your own salvation? What was it that told you forgiveness is not a free gift? What was it that told you that Jesus Christ's death on the cross was not enough for you to cover all your sins? What was it for you that took you from the truth and brought you over here to the false, and as a result has kept you and your heart in the dark? You see, maybe we've told ourselves some of these lies, and maybe just maybe something or someone has told you these lies this week. Too little, too late. You haven't done enough. It's too far. There's too many mistakes. It's just unforgivable. Friends, what's been trying to pull you from the realm of the truth to the realm of the false? What's been trying to pull you from the realm of God's light for you in Jesus to keep you in the dark? Perhaps we find that sometimes what we may say, a Sunday school rehearsed answer to this question, maybe, just maybe, there's a part of our heart that really wonders if God is as good he says he is and he really forgives me because of Jesus Christ. Maybe, just maybe, there's a part of us that struggles with the answer to that question of whether or not God's forgiveness actually extends to each and every one of my sins after all. Pastor Mark had the opportunity to spend a little more time with this parishioner. And he said, would you be willing to spend a little more time in God's word with me today, particularly 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 9? And she said, sure. And he said, would you read this with me together? And I'd like to invite you this morning, wherever you're sitting, whether you're the front row or you're the hot seat in the back, would you read this with me today? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So Pastor Mark and this woman read this out loud together, and he asked her a question. He said, what is God telling you in this passage? What does he want you to know? What does he want you to leave here with today? What truth? What nugget of light? And this is what she said. I'm forgiven and I'm free. Because of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and you are free. God in his mercy has given his only begotten son to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all of your sins. No scales, no ledgers, no balance sheet to keep track of. Because of Jesus Christ, your sins and mine are nailed to the cross, and they are not brought back up for you to cover on your own. Because of Jesus Christ, you and I are free. Friends, where do you need to hear that this morning? Let's pray.